engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on the shore. Then he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. But at once he spoke with them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." He got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We continue celebrating the Feast of Christmas all the rest of this week, and it focuses us in these readings on the reality that Christ, who is God, is also love. It reminds me of a story of a true story of a student who was doing a class project. The students had to write about Christmas, and the teacher liked this particular student's essay, but just wanted him to change the first sentence of it, because in that first sentence he had written, "Christmas is when Christians celebrate Christ." And the teacher wanted him to change the words to, "Christmas is when people celebrate love." Now, one might ask, is that a legitimate change? Does it mean the same thing? After all, aren't Christians people, and isn't Christ love? God is love, like the readings today told us. And certainly, Christians are people, and certainly God is love. But it is quite a different thing to say that Christmas is when Christians celebrate Christ than to say it is when people celebrate love. And here's why. While it's true that all Christians are people, not all people are Christians. And this is a particularly Christian feast. We're not celebrating some kind of general happiness among or unity of humanity. It's a specific feast for those who are welcoming and celebrating Christ and who are not only observing the fact that he was born on earth, that God became one of us, but who are celebrating the fact that, as the exchange of Christmas gifts represents, there's an exchange of natures going on here. And as God begins to share our humanity, we have the opportunity to share his divinity. And that's what being a Christian means. We are actually transformed. We are born again. Jesus is born on earth so that we can be born in heaven. We are born again. And this is what being a Christian is. It's not just about being a good person, as if it were equated with just people celebrating love. We are called to be new people, living while on the human plane, obviously, also on the divine plane, sharing, obviously, human nature, but also sharing, supernaturally, God's nature. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, taking up dwelling within us, our bodies becoming temples of the Holy Spirit, our flesh being incorporated into the body of Christ. All of this is part of what it means to be a Christian. And this is not something that just happens automatically to people. It's not something that every human being on the earth automatically shares in. One has to make a choice to follow Jesus Christ. One has to make a decision to accept him in their lives. One has to make an act of obedience to Jesus' inaugural words at the beginning of his public ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is among you." And one has to realize that the kingdom of God is, in fact, that person whose name is Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be a Christian. So Christmas is a particularly Christian feast. By definition, it is when Christians celebrate Christ. Now, would the equivalent of that statement, when he said we celebrate Christ, also be we celebrate love? And the answer is that although God is love, it is not possible to fully understand or live the meaning of that love without acknowledging Christ. What do I mean? Love is perhaps the most misused, abused, and confused word in the English language. I love God. I love my wife. I love my mother. I love my dog. I love ice cream. All these things mean different dimensions and aspects and applications of the word love, don't they? Very different things. What is love? Well, the readings today and this week, as we're reading from the first letter of St. John, tell us very clearly. Here is love, that God sent his Son. In other words, unless we say specifically that Christmas is when Christians celebrate Christ, rather than saying just in a generic way it's when people celebrate love, we will miss the defining act of love in human history. That God, becoming one of us, freely offered himself for us upon the cross, gave himself to us, not because we asked for it or earned it, but precisely while we were still sinners. Talk about love. What's the best symbol of love? What's the best revelation of love? Is it the heart? No, it's the crucifix. This is how we know love, that God has sent his Son, as John tells us in this reading, has sent his Son as Savior of the world. We would not know the content of love were it not for the clear teachings of Christ. I mean, we know certain demands of love just by human reason. You don't kill a baby, for example. We can know that by human instinct. Human reason gets us to the point of recognizing that things like abortion are wrong. Although the Democrat Party doesn't seem to have arrived at that point yet, but the rest of us know from common sense, killing a baby is wrong. And you can say that definitively, and you can say it without second-guessing yourself or anybody else. But there are other things that, if it were not for the clear teachings of Christ, starting with the Sermon on the Mount, going through all his parables, all his teachings as they have been coalesced and expressed in the ages now of teachings of the church, that gives us the clear content of love. There are certain things that we as Christians always do. We pray for our enemies. We pray for our persecutors. We forgive those who do wrong against us. There are certain things that we never do. Kill babies by abortion. Squelch the freedom of someone else to live according to their conscience and their religious beliefs. There are certain things we never do. Blasphemy against God and so forth. The teachings of Christ are what clarify love. Love, as seen by some people, is just some kind of either a label that they put on whatever it is that they choose to do, because they say, oh, I'm doing this out of love, and then they justify any and every action under the sun. Or it's just some kind of a sentiment or intention. You know, oh, if, as long as I'm doing it in a loving way, it doesn't really matter what I do or who I sleep with or what I... No, yeah, it does matter. Again, the love is defined by the teachings of Christ. So to go back to that student and his teacher, yeah, it makes a big difference to say that Christmas is when Christians celebrate Christ rather than simply to say it is when people celebrate love. God is love. He has manifested his love in Jesus Christ. The child born for us has brought us a whole body of teachings. Let us absorb them. Let us hold fast to them. Let us experience once again Jesus coming into our lives just as he came to those apostles who were in the boat and saying with crystal clarity to us today, amid whatever storms of life we are living, have courage. Do not be afraid. It is I who have come for you. I who am your God. I who am love. I who transform you into a new person. I who have taken upon your nature, upon myself, and have given you a share in my own nature. It is I. Yes, Lord, we acknowledge you. We welcome you again. We adore you, our Christmas gift, our everlasting Lord and Savior. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.